This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. I love mine. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep, get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/morningstream. Coming up on TMS, Scott nearly got into a nasty altercation.
Trek 3 should have more Riker in it.
We'll talk about that. Ralph Baer left quite an odyssey.
The two-faced cat is dead.
Miley Cyrus is on the road to Nashville.
Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green are okay.
Yeah, they're all right. Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Well, one thing you can consider is looks. Woody thought of Janice and how good-looking she was. He'd really have to rate to date somebody like her. Yes, he'd enjoy that. Except, well, it's too bad Janice always acts so superior and bored. She'd make a fellow feel awkward and inferior.
What are you?
The Morning Stream. No dicks here. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short, for Monday, December 8th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
How are you?
I had to play this again.
What are you?
I love that. I almost want to go back to the movie so I can see what is happening, what's making that noise.
I know. It's so weird. I don't really remember what happened, but in the movie, we just did a film sec for 1978's Invasion of the Body Snatchers, starring Donald Sutherland and a lady what looks like Margot Kidder and Karen Allen had a baby. Mm-hmm. And at some point, this happens.
What are you?
And we don't know what caused it because I don't remember, but I had to capture it. And there it is. And I'll use it all the time until I die. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. It's good to be back. It's Monday. That means a brand new, fresh week of The Morning Stream. Fresh, yes. Brian. Fresh.
Fresh.
Not that fresh.
It's got that new podcast smell, actually.
I feel like it smells like burning 2 hours of killing the same trash over and over is what it smells like.
Oh, no.
A little bit. It has that stain on it. It was fun, though. Shout out to all the guildies who ran with us last night and had fun getting our Corehound mounts.
That was fun, yes.
Yeah, hanging with them is fun. The actual stuff we did, things have evolved. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lots have changed since 2004.
It was really cool when Blizzard discovered, oh, you can actually make different parts of a raid look different.
Mm-hmm.
And not just be one big rocky tunnel.
And, you know, one Corehound / Fire Lord after another.
Yeah.
I think the challenge back in the day, this isn't the instance or anything, but, you know, if you had 40 guys, you had to come up with a big, broad hallway, you know? Mm-hmm. It had to be big and hard to move around easy to move around rather, not hard to move around. And it had to be, you know, the kind of space that somehow accommodated that chaos. I mean, there's a reason they got rid of it. There's a reason they don't do it anymore. Because yeah. It didn't work that great. It sounds great on paper. In actual execution,
not so much.
We all have memories and we all think it was great, but now we're kind of like, I don't know so much. But anyway, we're done with it. We did it the one time that needed to be done, and now we're done.
Yes.
Some of those psychos in there have done it multiple times.
Which I don't understand. I mean, basically you get one thing from it. Well, yeah. You get two things. You get a nice headpiece,
yeah.
And you get a mount to ride around on.
Yep.
And if you do it multiple times, guess what? You don't get extra of those.
No,
you get a little gold. And even if you did, what would you do with them?
No. So the few people that were with us that have done it were there clearly to just help everyone else do it.
Just help us along, yeah, exactly.
So hats off to them for their great sacrifice. Let us never forget.
Yes.
Because good Lord.
Never again, but never forget.
Never, yeah. all right, I got a story to share. People have been pining for this. You kind of know the skinny of it, so yeah, I apologize for you hearing this twice. But
no, I'm eagerly waiting to hear it a second time.
And so I wasn't sure what my energy level this morning would be and how into this I'm going to get, but we'll see where it takes me because I was so full of rage yesterday. I could have, thrown a puppy into a river. I mean, well, probably not, but you know, When you were so angry,
we handle our rage in different ways, Johnson.
I would never do that, obviously. But you know, I was so mad. I don't feel like I was of my right mind, is my point. But and it's a small thing, but I feel like it was just the confluence of timing and the faces involved and all this stuff. So here's what happened. And if you follow me on Twitter, you heard me sort of exclaim the core problem on Twitter and say that I would talk about it on the show. So here I am fulfilling my commitment to tell you the story.
Sure.
All right. I'm on my way back home for a Film Sack recording session with you and Brian Dunaway and Randy Jordan and myself. Very excited. Totally stoked to talk about the movie. Mm-hmm. Hustling my butt home. And the way this works is our driveways in the new house are in the rear of the house or behind it. So you go kind of like the Midwest does this a lot, where you kind of, it's not really an alley, but it's kind of an alley. But it's like a street behind you where all the houses on the street, they access their garages from that back street.
Yeah.
And right. So I'm on the normal street. This is a small road behind the house or behind that street, which is like, I mean, yes, it'll accommodate two cars, but most of the time there's some cars parked out in front of them. And, you know, it's kind of, it would be hard to get two through there simultaneously. Yeah,
if there are two, you know, that's the whole thing of like, all right, I'll pull over to the side. You get through. Now I'll go.
Yeah.
Et cetera, yeah.
Those kind of things. Right. We're all living by the same social contract. We know how to deal with it. It's all good. And it's a lovely place. It's a really, we really like where we live now. And so I'm driving there, and normally it's no problem. I just go into where my turn in is, pull past the driveway, in and I park, boom, I'm done. No big deal. Lovely Sunday. It's sunny out. It's almost warm. It's weird weather for this time of year. You know, all things are great in front of me. Except sure. As I pull up to pull in, there is in front of me some lady who is in all sweats. Okay. I don't know if this has any importance to the story or not, but she's in sweats.
It's a flavor. You're adding flavor to the story.
Sure.
Adding
I'm painting a mental picture.
Exactly. Sure. Yes.
So imagine her in full like sweatsuit regalia, okay? Smoking on what looked like the biggest, longest, gnarliest cigarette I've ever seen.
You've come a long way, baby,
yeah,
with your Virginia
right.
Slims.
That's right. And these were not, and this is not like some vapey thing or some forward thinking, you know, flavored or anything. It was a full on, just a nasty ass cigarette. All right. Hanging off her finger there. Whatever. I don't judge smokers. Do what you want to do. But that's, I'm just, again, painting you the mental photo here. She's standing there in the middle of the road. She's standing there talking to someone who I could only assume is her friend. They're both very casually, kind of arms folded, leaning. One's leaning against the car, this Volkswagen Rabbit that is now blocking the entire street. Mm-hmm. You can't get past her. And
she's got a chat.
Sure, of course. So she's leaning on that talking to smoker lady. And I pull up and they are blocking my entrance into how I get into the house.
House. Yeah.
The way that everyone gets to their houses. AKA a public road. So they're blocking it. Now, normally what I would expect, or if it was me doing that, because you know, sometimes you'll see a friend and they'll be in your car, or you'll be in your car, they'll be in their car, and you'll stop for a second and go, hey man, what's going on? You'll talk to the thing, and then somebody will come up behind you, like, oh, they're coming. Oh, all right, dude, I'll talk to you later. We'll
catch
see
up
you
later. Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the way the contract works. You're not allowed to block the damn artery. So they're standing there, and I'm thinking they will do one of a few things, which is, oh, sorry, no problem. She'll get in her car. I'll wait a second. She'll move it out of the way or she'll leave, one or the other. You know, they'll kind of have that moment of, oh, sorry, no problem. Come on. You know, like something like that will happen. Like I would do. That's exactly what I would freaking do because I know the priority. I know who gets priority on that road. It's those trying to get through it.
And it's the right thing. It's the, you know, it's we're living in a society.
We're living in a society. With rules. So this is what I think happens. What instead happens, and I can only do this for the video people at home, and it's not even that effective, but she looks over at me, the one smoking, looks over at me and waves me off with the most, like, stink face I've ever seen. Like, total stink face going like this, go around, go somewhere else is basically what she's saying. I can't hear her because she's far enough ahead of me. I can't. She's not. Her mouth's not moving, so I don't think she's even saying anything. But she's basically motioning me to it's clear what she wants me to do, which is get the hell out of there. Go somewhere. Go some other way is basically what she's saying. Mm-hmm. There is no other way.
Right.
To get into that, to that turn. I can't get in there through any other way. Because if I go the other way, that's a one-way road and it passes it on the side that I can't turn. So this is my way. This is my only way.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit there for another second or two and she does it again. And it's a little more animated now. Like, go around, go away, go another way, like this. Right? Just, and I think that's probably what set me off, is that attitude.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if she said, oh, I'm so sorry, the car stalled, or I can't move, or can you go around, you know, like,
right,
something. Right. But instead, just, yeah, bleh, bleh, like that.
We're talking here.
Yeah, can't we're talking. What do you think we're doing? And I became livid. Now, I had a choice. I could have gone, and just laid on that horn until they did something. Mm-hmm. I could have gotten out of the car and let my 6'4" broad-shouldered man frame scare them.
Right.
All right.
Man frame.
I mean, I could have really, I could have freaked them out, I think. I think I could have. If I'd have acted enough like a crazy person, I could have freaked them out. That was an option number two. And option number three was to have the presence of mind, which is what I did, where I went, all right, now wait a minute. This person is only a street behind me. It's possible that she is part of a neighbor connection or something that I don't want to create a giant problem with.
I may not know her, but I might know her husband.
Yeah, I might know her husband. As it turns out, I think I know who it is. I think she's the daughter. She's the older, has kids, lives in the basement daughter of a dude that we all like a respected dude in the neighborhood, this older guy who's super nice. Mm-hmm. And I had the presence of mind to go, I don't want to, if it's something like that, I don't want to cause some big stink. Yeah. So instead of getting out of the car or instead of laying on the horn, I decided to go back and just pull out in front of the house and just go in the front door. Now, instead of just doing that though, because what I realized is that the situation I'm in is forcing me to do like a 6-point backup and turn. I can't just U-turn it because it's, again, a tiny road. So I have to go.
You're looking like Austin Powers trying to move that little golf cart in that narrow Dr. Evil hallway.
That is a very good comparison. That's exactly what it felt like. So I finally get around to the other side, and now I'm so angry. And not only am I angry at the situation, I'm angry that I'm leaving it without dominating it. Okay, because I'm feeling this rage, right? I mean, you understand why people freak out on freeways. I totally get it.
Yeah,
because it just takes you over. I slammed. So here I am in this. I'm driving my little economy car, my freaking Fiesta thing. All right. So it's tiny and it's not scary at all.
no intimidation. No. Yeah.
None. And I slam on the gas and peel out to leave. So I just go. I'm kicking up like little bits of gravel and acting like, you know, Paul Walker, rest his soul, as I get out of there. And I pull out of there and I fly out to the other street and I'm seething mad. And I look back and they're just casually smoking and yapping. So I get around to the front of the house. I go inside. I'm just like slamming doors and I'm the only one there. The kids and Kim are somewhere else. And I'm just kind of just being all blustery and pissed. And then I think, I'm going to go back out there. I need an excuse. What's my excuse?
Piece of my mind.
I'm going to get the mail. So we have this like shared mailbox area that's kind of out back by the right where that street corner is. So I'm thinking, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and get my mail. And if I see them, I'm going to say, hey, what the hell you think you're doing? Bah, bah. You know, I'm going to be all whatever. And I'm going to get some sunglasses on. I'm going to make this worse. So I'm all hell bent. I'm shaking with rage a little bit, you know, just kind of, I'm so mad. I go out there to get the mail. They're gone. They're not there anymore. They're not there at all.
I was afraid you were going to say that she was standing in front of your mailbox. Get your mail tomorrow. Yeah. Get it tomorrow.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's the problem. I think that's my core problem here. And when I talked to Kim about it, she goes, oh, you know what? I think she's known for being real stubborn. She might have given you some real trouble. I'm like, well, I could have given her real trouble. She goes, I don't know. You don't want that to turn into something where the cops get called or something. I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. Now, I was still bugged all night last night about it. Today, I'm feeling a little more, I'm okay.
A little more mellow about it?
Yeah, because what's the deal? It's not that big a deal. I'll tell you what, though. She does it again. She's getting the horn. At least the horn. She does it again. I'm going to go, and I'm just going to hold on to that until she moves. That I know. This I know. But will I get out of the car and, like, confront? Probably not. Because, you know, again, if it's the person we think it is. What is this, Daryl?
He just says, I'm not asking. You'll have to read it here. I don't know what that means.
Today's ending question, Star Trek character or penis is in another language? What? I don't know what he's saying.
Oh, in other words, he's not going to be able to say it with the crowd around him.
Oh, he can't. Oh, because he's in the area there.
Right.
Oh, right, right, right.
Plus, there's probably some pronunciation involved, and he wants you to...
Totally understand. Yeah, exactly. I'm with it.
By the way, as you were describing this,
some
people sent... A couple people sent a video of apparently this recent thing, so recent, December 5th, 2014, of Calgary's worst driver, this guy who's trying to pull out of a parking space... in Calgary.
All right.
I'm going to put this in your Skype and you can, you know, just look at it at your leisure. But as you're describing this, I've had this on and it's cracking me up. Like it's
all right. I'll check it out. Before I do though. So I was going to tell you at the top of the show that I might have to duck away for a second to take a delivery. And as I was about to tell you that, I hear the door. So I'm going to go do this real quick, everybody.
Go take a delivery.
Let me save. All right, let me kick everything back on. Where's the thing? Okay.
Do that, Scott.
Okay. Oh, what? Hello, don't do that. Hold on. Hang on,
you were recording the whole time you were gone, were you?
No.
Oh, good.
Okay. No, heck no. Did I miss a really important thing?
No.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. Anyway, so that's what's going on there.
That video and Secret Santa.
Let me take it. I want to see this video because now I'm dying to see it.
It is really, really funny.
All right, this is CBC. Okay, all right, here we go.
You'll get plenty out of just the first 30 seconds of it.
Oh gosh,
and you can watch the rest at your leisure.
It's scaring me already. Why is he having?
What is so? There's like it's a parking lot with three cars in it. How hard is it to get out of a parking lot?
This isn't hard at all. Hold on. Okay. Oh gosh. Oh gosh. They just hit the car behind him.
Yeah.
Yes. Wait, they're pulling back in. Okay. This is the worst person ever. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a terrible, terrible human being. Oh gosh. I can't even do it.
You're just waiting for side swipe number one, side, you know, back end number two.
Oh my gosh. Okay, now he's gonna go the other way. What is happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
So people out there who listen to the podcast who aren't seeing this on video, just do a search on YouTube for Calgary's worst driver, and it's something that just apparently came out. On December 5th, it was posted, and apparently Calgary police are looking for this person because of the damage that they caused to
the red car. Because it's basically
the red car. Yeah.
It's basically a hit and run.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? They basically turned themselves parallel.
Yes.
And that other guy couldn't get out of there quick enough. So like, okay.
Right, and you think that, all right, that car's out, you're home free, just, you know, now you got some time, now you got some room.
Wow, that is something else.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Calgary, you have something to yell about, I can tell you that much. Good Lord. All right, well, speaking of yelling.
Anyway.
Let's get Daryl in here.
Yeah, let him do some yelling.
He's in a new space, he's in a new cubicle area, or a new grid of people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that means, other than it could, in theory, affect how loud he can be.
Right.
Let's find out together. I'm going to play this now. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Hero Movie Podcast, the best source of superhero movie discussion in the multiverse.
The multiverse!
Oh. Each week, Adam, Sean, and Bruce talk exclusively about the only movies that matter. And those movies? Superhero movies.
Mm.
Hero Movie Podcast has it all. Find it at heromoviepodcast.com or simply Hero Movie Podcast wherever you find podcasts.
Daryl, hello.
Hello.
Ooh, where? How are you? Where are you now?
I am in the new area.
My theory was correct. He is quieter today. Much, much quieter. Well, this will be fun. Is it more open? Are you more exposed?
Oh, it's about the same.
Oh, well, that's all right then. We can loosen right up. Guess. Yeah.
When you start talking, do you see little heads prairie dogging over the sides of the cubicles to see what's going on?
Prairie dogging.
No, they're too high.
Yeah. Well, they should not smoke at work. All right. Well, that's great. That's good to know. Can we real quick discuss something that's all in the news right now? Star Trek 3 fans are campaigning to get Jonathan Frakes as director. I saw on your Twitter feed that you are in favor of this. I'm not sure I am, and here's why. Everyone needs to go back and watch the best Frakes Trek, which was First Contact that he directed. I don't know that you can go, here's the J.J. Abrams style of movie making, or for that matter, here's action sci-fi movies in 2014 era, and then have Frakes do it, because it's a different style. It's an older, quieter, slower. And I know you like this because you don't like shaky cam and all that, but it's not, it's going to feel like a TV show and not a movie. And I don't know if that works for them in 2015, 2016.
That movie, though, was done a long time ago. So I'm sure he's updated his styles now, too.
Well, what's he done? Like,
he's done a lot of TV.
Doing
Hold on. Jonathan Frakes. Boy, it helps if I spell Jonathan right. Jonathan. Here we go.
And I'm not saying he'd be the very best director you could ever possibly get, but he'd be okay.
Yeah.
Would it be worth J.J. Abrams like calling up Ronald Moore and saying, hey, could you want to jump in and help me out with the next Star Trek movie? And
that'd be all right. Ronald Moore
is not a director, though.
Well, no.
No, but he's a writer.
Sure.
No, that's true.
He did Generations, which wasn't very good.
So Frakes directed a few episodes of Falling Skies. Mm-hmm. He directed one episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., some NCIS.
Did two episodes of The Glades, which my wife is all into.
Mm. Burn Notice, Castle, Leverage.
See, there's good stuff in there.
Yeah, but none of them are like big, loud summer movies. I don't know. I'm not saying he couldn't. I don't want to say he couldn't. I would love to see that happen and see his name there and hear fans cheer on day one when they see his credit. I think that would be really, really cool. But
he directed Insurrection, too.
Yeah. And Insurrection, just go back in your heads a little bit, is not much of a movie. It's more of a TV two-parter.
It's an extended, right.
And it's not bad. It's just not, I don't know, man. I don't know. Good luck is all I'm saying. Let's see what happens. I doubt it. I highly doubt this. Movies anymore, they are such spectacle now. They are no longer like, I mean, there's plenty of movies that are, but the ones that matter most, and especially when it comes to Star Trek, Star Wars, and big, Marvel movie fair and stuff, nobody wants a quiet, steady approach to those movies. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying that is the state of the world in Hollywood right now. So take that for what it's worth.
Well, let's change that.
All right, let's change it. One movie at a time. Okay, Daryl, let's get to your Star Trek question. You are the Star Trek nerd. Trek nerd, you come on here and you answer hard trivia questions. Today, we have a mashup first, so we'll play that. I have no idea what this is. Probably a lot of balls and stuff.
Hammond organs.
Hammond, there we go. Yeah. Great.
J. Hammond organs.
Yeah, J. Hammond organ.
It's a grumpy organ.
Nicola Bont.
We could fuse their DNA and make Veronical.
Should we mash them up?
She would have robot arms and she'd go beady, beady, beady.
That's right. I just did Ner'zhul. Yeah, that's right. I said I did Ner'zhul. You heard me out there, homies.
John Cena.
Cena, that's it!
So I've got a couple really sensitive areas up in, around where I've got some exposed root.
I've been cheating.
Hey, you guys, if you swing your bag around a little bit, something will happen.
Critically acclaimed.
What?
Amon,
for f- sake.
They shouldn't f- it up.
I don't know what any of that was. Patrick at the end, I think. Was that what that was at the end? I think that was Patrick saying.
I think it was a jury.
Oh, was it jury?
It's not like jury. Well, maybe it was Patrick.
I don't know.
It sounded like jury.
Interchangeably, they should switch places and see what happens.
Exposed Root. I think that's my Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band.
There you go. I like it. Wait, isn't there? No, that's your Jimmy Fallon cover or whatever they are, cover band. What am I saying? Anyway, aren't they the Roots? They're the Roots, right?
The Roots, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, moving on. Daryl, let's get back to your question here, or get to the question. What episode of The Next Generation does this clip come from? Here you go.
I intend to open those containers.
That cargo is the property of the Tal Shiar. You will not touch it.
On whose authority?
Mine. And if you do not wish to undergo another personal experience with the Tal Shiar, I suggest you not question me again. Now, proceed on course bearing 102 Mark IV to the Caleb sector.
Why should we go to the Caleb sector? It's virtually deserted.
Because those are your orders.
Why should I respect your orders?
They are talkbackers, those Romulans, man.
Troy putting her camel-toed foot down.
That's right. Square on the ground. All right, Daryl, your options are A, violations, B, face of the enemy, C, eye of the beholder, or D, preemptive strike. So that's violations, face of the enemy, eye of the beholder, or preemptive strike. Those are your options. Well, what are we doing today?
We never did talk food. We did. Shoot, I've got a box upstairs.
Ah, poop.
Daryl, what did you bring with you?
I've got everything.
I don't have anything near me is the problem.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right. You know what? Today we don't do food. Tomorrow
it's a rebuilding day.
Yeah, tomorrow. It's like every season for the Jazz since 1976 or 96. So what we'll do tomorrow, let's plan on the pretzels and that dressing thing tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I want to finally get to that. All right.
I've been eating those pretzels.
Have you? I haven't had any yet.
I've been eating the dressing.
Cheating bastards.
Whatever.
I haven't had any. All right.
Do we do the dressing with anything, or are we just going to put it in a little paper cup and sip
it? Dip it. No, I think you dip the pretzels in it. I think that's the idea.
No, I don't think that's the idea.
Isn't it? I thought it was the idea. Why isn't that the idea? Is that really
I think the dressing is for salads or marinating, and the pretzels are for eating. I don't think you're supposed to combine the two.
Oh, I assume they were. It was as like to be some weird regional dip for your pretzels.
I'll have to reread the letter that came with it, but I don't think.
All right. Fair enough. I don't want to do anything weird or gauche.
No.
Yeah. What does gauche mean? I don't even know. I just used it out of context.
Gauche, not approved by society, not a polite or appropriate thing to do. How gauche.
Yeah, how gauche of you to do. Like if you showed up at a fancy dress party with tennis shoes on, that would be very gauche.
Right. Okay. Brought a box of wine to a fancy dinner.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that.
Although there's some damn good box of wines, but anyway.
Is there?
Yeah.
All right. See, I would have assumed that was always a bad idea, like always for like the wino guy and not for a nice dinner or something.
Yeah, no.
But I don't know enough about that stuff. So who knows?
Usually you bring a bottle, but I'm not going to deride the boxed wines because there are a few good ones.
All right. Well, how gauche of you, Daryl? Let's get back to it here. Birthday. Sorry. Get any birthdays?
Oh, yes, we have Terry Hatcher. She played Lieutenant B.G. Robinson on the episode The Outrageous Akona.
Hold on.
And Terry she's Hatcher. 50 today.
Lieutenant Spectacular. Oh, my gosh, 50?
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Spectacular? Nice reference. So, wait, she's 50. Wow. I wouldn't have called that ever. Hold on, Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, let's see what she looks like today.
Well, I guess she was just on that Housewives of whatever deal, right?
It was like. Ended 6 years ago or something, didn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Here she is in 2014. Housewives. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
not age.
Well, she's had some stuff.
Bitchy resting face.
Yeah. She's had some work. Well, that's fine. Haven't we all in the end? I mean, in the end, we're all going to look like Voldemort by the end. So nothing you can do about it. All right. Well, good for her. And may she ever be Lois to his Clark. Daryl, let's get to the question here. Next Generation, clearly. It's violations, face of the enemy, eye of the beholder, or preemptive strike. How do you feel?
Not good. Let's see. I have no reason to choose one or the other. Face what? I wrote down violation, face, eye, preem.
face of the beholder. Face of the enemy, sorry. Eye of the beholder, preemptive strike is your preem.
Ah, okay. Face. That's the guy on the A-Team.
Yeah. Who is also on... Yeah, he's Dirk Benedict.
Yeah. Should I pick that? I think I...
Brian will just have to take your word for it on that because he's never seen the A-Team except for
Funfair. I've seen one episode and I saw the face.
That's all you needed to. You know, we really put you on the wrong track, though. Like, we showed you one of the worst episodes ever.
Oh, sure. I know. I'm sure the other ones are, you know...
They're more fun.
Masterpiece theater.
Well, all right, fair enough. But before they got to that low point, there was some fun to be had, you know? Like, the early episodes were... Well, whatever. I feel like I'm justifying kind of a bad
Seriously,
show. It was never good.
I watched a lot of 70s TV.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And got a little good-natured ribbing last night during Raid.
Sure.
I watched a ton of 70s TV. And really, all you need to do is take, all right, I've watched this show. All I need to do is just drop Mr. T, a Georges Papard, and basically I get the gist of that show because it all came out around the same time. Yeah. It was basically the same thing.
It is as if you'd seen it, truly.
Get into a jam.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's going to get him out of a jam.
Yeah.
Resolution. Ha, ha, ha. Freeze frame.
That's basically, That's basically it. People were shocked, though, nonplussed last night at you not seeing Knight Rider before.
Nah.
Yeah, that freaked me.
You know what? I've seen enough Hasselhoff. I've heard plenty.
Yeah. You've had all the Hasselhoff you'd ever need.
Exactly. You know, Baywatch car. Oh, there we go. There's Knight Rider.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
Baywatch, Cylon, and a car.
I mean, our memories are obviously skewed because we were kids and we're like, yeah, dude, remember the one where he fought the truck? What was the truck called? I think it was just called Truck or something.
Sure.
And it was a big sentient truck semi that he had to fight. And that was awesome. But then it's not really that awesome. It's always, you know, it's
I didn't care about 70s TV if it centered around a vehicle.
Well, most of these are 80s. So you would have.
I'm sorry, 80s. Or 80s.
And that's where I think you maybe something changed. Like for you in the 80s, you were too busy getting girls or something while we were sitting home on Friday night watching, you know, the Duke boys get out of another jam.
Well, Friday nights, I hate to say it, I was probably watching Love Boat and Fantasy Island.
That's awesome.
Getting my stubing and tattoo fix.
Yeah. The old Friday night stubing and tattoo fix. Got it. All right, Daryl. So where are you at?
I was probably watching that dumb show with Beady Beady Beady. And,
yeah.
Trying to avoid that while watching around it.
Yeah. See, you watch that.
Do you watch Buck Rogers?
Of course I watch Buck Rogers.
Okay.
Sci-fi was almost a guarantee. Like watching stuff like...
Do you watch Battlestar, the old one?
I watched the old Battlestar. Watched Buck Rogers. Quark, was it?
Oh.
It was a... Yeah, about a mining ship or a...
That was called... Is it called Quark?
I want to say it was called Quark.
Quark, 1977. Richard Benjamin, Tim Thomerson. Yeah, that's it.
The one, yep.
Tim Thomerson was in that.
Watched V, the original V.
Yeah. V was good. They ate a gerbil in V.
They
or
did.
A hamster or something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm just looking at this cast. This is amazing.
Oh, and on Quark?
Yeah. Joan Van Ark. Wow, that is old. That's super old, and those aliens are super dumb looking. How long did that last? 78, 77, one season, it says here.
One season?
Yeah. Wow, that's not good.
That's right, he was a garbage man. Yeah, space garbage man.
Space garbage man, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that. Sounds all
right. Yeah. I like autopilot, right there. Get that one on for the return of
autopilot. I like space blue-collar businesses. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Red Dwarf. It was very red. It had a very Red Dwarf feel to it.
All right. Well, maybe we'll.
What
did
V?
No.
Quark.
Not V.
Quark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's Star Maidens? Have you heard of Star Maidens? It's recommending that. It says if you like this, you might also like Star Maidens.
I've heard of Star Maidens, but there was a Starman TV show too, based on the Jeff Bridges joint.
I wonder how that was. Was that good?
Barely remember it. And I think it lasted less than a season two. Man from Atlantis, I remember watching. See, I watched a lot of 70s TV. I just, you know.
Speaking of Karen Allen, she was in Starman. Oh, yeah, here it is. The Robert Hayes played Paul Forrester.
Right, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, there you have it.
Anyway.
Daryl, back to your question here. Where are you at? What do you think?
Star Maidens had star cows in it, too.
Star Maidens have star cows in it?
I don't know. Maids of Milking, you know?
Oh, got it. Gotcha. Right. It is Christmas, so get in the spirit, everybody.
Oh, never mind. Right. Okay. Back to this.
Strike that from the record, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm going to allow this. Sorry, go ahead.
My first thought was face, whatever it was.
Face of the enemy?
As without a face?
Yeah. And I don't have a reason to pick anything else, so I guess I'll just stay with that.
Okay, well, that's
fine. This is a guess.
It's a guess? All right, we'll see if you guessed properly. Is it face of the enemy?
Congratulations.
Well, by gum, it is.
You're a winner.
All right, nicely done. Troy is disguised as a Romulan in this episode and is helping several high-ranking officials in their defection to the Federation. Well done. You've proven once again you are truly the Trek nerd. You can find him at that moniker over there on Twitter, twitter.com/thetreknerd. Or at Trek Nerd on Twitter. That's all you need to know there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And Daryl will now play a game with us called What? You may have to whisper.
Go read your text.
Okay, I'm going to read the text.
You will find the question there.
Because Daryl's in a new zone here. Okay. Star Trek character or penis?
In another language.
In another language? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Another language. So is it a Star Trek character or is it a word for penis in another language?
Oh, weird.
Exactly.
Okay. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't I get a theme or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hold on. I'll give you a theme. Hold on. Let's see. About this.
Da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
That's good enough.
Here you go. Here you go.
That's all I need.
Here you go.
It's a rat turd.
All right. Go ahead.
Guska.
Guska?
Guska.
Star Trek character. Commander Guska, please join us for negotiations with the Tyrillian IV people. Or
Guska.
Your Guska has got a wart it shouldn't have. What do you think, Brian?
I like a foreign word for penis for this one.
Out of context, that was an awesome capture right there. I'm going to say that I agree. I agree with Brian. That's a foreign penis, for sure.
Okay. It is. It's Somali for that word.
Oh, weird.
For what word, Joe?
I love that this is your category, and you're making us say the word. I love that. That's an amazing turn of twist of fates here.
That's awesome.
All right, it's the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
The news is brought to you by
The Figures Sold Separately podcast, the best in nerd and geek. Join us live on December 14th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with our special guest, Amber Nash, Pam Poovey on FX's Archer. Go to fsspodcast.com or find us on iTunes. That's fsspodcast.com.
Nice.
FS Spodcast.
Spodcast, yeah.
Spodcast.
You know, it's the new Spodcast. The netcast didn't stick, so they're working on some new one.
Spodcasts you love.
From people you trust. Inventor of the first video game console ever, Ralph Baer, passed away.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a little sad about this. He made the very first video game console. He developed the Brown Box in 1966, which he later licensed to Magnavox, where it became the Magnavox Odyssey, which was released in 1972. I was all of 2 years old that year.
Wow.
My wife was all of being born. Baer is also responsible for the first video game peripheral, the Light Gun, and electronic memory game Simon.
God, I loved the game Simon.
Simon was great. Always had big C batteries, though. I hated those things. Oh, my gosh. And then you'd screw up.
They've come out with a newer Simon that uses like touch sensor technology. Saw it at Barnes and Noble last Christmas.
Why isn't it just an app on a tablet or something? Shouldn't it
Well, I like the tangible. You got to have the tangible Electric Light Orchestra album cover looking device, I think.
Okay.
I don't want an app. I want the big old Simon you put in the middle of the room and people pick it up. It's like a bop it.
Brian, you're a purist. I understand.
Yes, that's a thing. That's a toy that belongs on the table, not on an app.
Well, he developed this thing, and he's considered kind of a breakthrough dude. Although I'm not sure he got enough credit or money for all he did, which is often the case of true innovators, right? They'll come out, they'll invent something or innovate in some major way, and then someone else will come and swipe it up and make tons of money, but that guy will do just kind of okay. Mm-hmm. Like, Atari sort of ate his lunch.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think, oh, Pong, that's the first video game. No. Or that's the first video game console. No, it's not. It's not. Bear did it.
Yep, the Odyssey.
Yeah. He received the National Medal of Technology Award from President George W. Bush in 2006. The 2008 Game Developers Choice Pioneer Award and many other honors. He says, quote, I listened to all those people 40 years ago who were telling me to stop this nonsense or made remarks that are remarks like, quote, are you still screwing around with this stuff? And hadn't proceeded, we might not be here today, Bear said when he received his Pioneer Award. Certainly things might have been different. He was 92. Oh, too soon. Wow. Too soon. No, that seems like a nice age to me.
Yeah, exactly. Good legacy and, you know, hey, well started done. This whole train rolling.
Yep. Well done, sir. Well done. The Two-Faced Cat, Frank and Louie. We've talked about the Two-Faced Cat before.
Yeah, we have a long time ago.
Yeah, a cat was born with two faces. And there was in the news recently for something else we covered, but he died at age 15. This is a terrible line, though.
It's a long life for a cat.
Well, the Huffington Post made it bad, though. They said their top line is, this cat had two faces, but only 9 lives. Lame.
Yeah.
It's not nice. Anyway, the feline named Frank and Louie, after he was born with two faces, 2 mouths, 2 noses, and 3 blue eyes, has died at the age of 15. Frank and Louie died Thursday in the Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine at Tufts University in North Grafton. This is, in Europe.
North Grafton.
Hello. The cat's owner, Marty Stevens, said veterinarians believe the cause of death was cancer. It had the cancer.
Mm.
Frank and Louie made it into the 2012 edition of the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest surviving member of a group known as Janus Cats. Named from a Roman god who had two faces. Oh, Janus, with your two faces. Janus cats almost never survive, and most have other congenital defects, like other issues. But this one lived as long as most cats live. 15 years is that's a ripe old average, age.
Yeah, lifespan for a cat.
Good job there, kitty cat.
I would have named it Harvey Dent.
Who's Harvey Dent? Oh, where's Harvey Dent is what I meant to say. I know who Harvey Dent.
That would have been a good name for that cat.
Yeah, it would have been, right? Put a little coin around his neck on a
on a collar.
I would have done that. That's a great idea. What were they thinking? Well, they're in Britain. They're a little more proper. It's all about tradition and decorum. That's it for that. Hey, look at this. Our friends at HelloFresh.com are going to be here for you, man. Let's see what HelloFresh.com is doing this week. Ow. Stupid headphones. Here we go. Their recipes this week. Whoops, not next week. I want to see this week. Darn it. Here we go. This week. Here we go. Classic box menu for the week of December 8th. Creamy. What's peen? Or is that penne? I've done it again.
Delivered right to your door. Creamy peen.
What is the word, though?
Penne. Penne. Penne pasta.
All that's right. Penne. Penne. Creamy penne. Creamy peen. Oh, how embarrassing. How do you even take me anywhere?
Come back from this.
How do you even take me anywhere? I just don't know how you deal with me. Caramelized onion shepherd pie. Mmm. That sounds all right.
Yeah.
Mustard crusted trout. Roasted pork tenderloin and layered sweet potato enchiladas, but really it's the creamy peen you're going to stay for.
you'll come for the pot pie. You'll stay for the creamy peen.
That's right. I haven't had you laughing that hard in a while. Anyway, we love them. They're great. They make cooking fun again. Their chefs make these recipes. They're not just like something thrown out of anywhere. You can't just find it on the internet. Actual chefs, actual recipes. They'll send the exact farm fresh ingredients for your creamy peen straight to your door. And you'll have everything you need to make that meal in 30 minutes or less. Visit HelloFresh.com. See if they deliver to you. They should likely, especially in these states united. Morning Stream for 50% off for first-time customers. That's Morning Stream, one word as your code. For half off your first order at HelloFresh.com. Do it today.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
Not brought to you by anybody.
No, it's not brought to anybody.
Let's get right to it.
Miley Cyrus and Patrick Schwarzenegger. Do you know who... by Creamy Bean. Patrick Schwarzenegger is one of Arnold's kids.
Has to be, yeah.
Yeah. Because how many other Schwarzeneggers are you?
With Maria Shriver?
Yeah, I think so.
Or, yeah.
I think so, right? Wouldn't that be?
Yeah, because the kid that he had with the maid, I think took her name. Kid or kids? Didn't he have?
He had kid, at least. I don't know about more. I think just the one. The one that looks just like him. Oh, that's so weird. Like, his actual kids look a lot less like him. Or, sorry, his actual kids. His kids with Shriver don't look like Arnold very much. But the one with the maid looks dead on like him.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Looking at Patrick here. He's a handsome
looks like
man.
Lucas Haas a little bit. Doesn't really look like either him or Maria Shriver, honestly. Yeah.
I see a little bit in his mouth. Little Arnold there.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's a good-looking kid. Looks all right. I guess him and Cyrus are a thing or something. He's 21, so he's young. Youngish. Anyway, they're heading to Nashville with Cody Simpson before final exams begin. It really is a party all over the USA, says E! Online. After nearly a week of parties, PDA, and did we mention parties in Miami, Miley Cyrus and Patrick Schwarzenegger have left town and moved west to Nashville for some quality time together. In a new Instagram post, the 21-year-old University of Southern California college student revealed his newest location while hanging out with his girl and a few close friends. Good old Nashville, he wrote as Cyrus gave the thumbs up while sitting on his lap. When looking closely, you may also recognize the one and only Cody Simpson nearby.
Wow.
Who's Cody Simpson?
It's like a Where's Waldo thing going on.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I don't either, actually.
Looking it up here.
Relation to Ashley and Jessica Simpson, maybe?
Maybe. Says here, he looks like Vanilla Ice at a younger age. He's 17 is all. He's all of 17. He's born the same... Here's my daughter. That's weird. Let's see. Okay. Early career. He's into some band called For You and Coast to Coast. So he's a singer man.
Mm.
All right. Well, good luck to him.
There apparently was some Miley Cyrus, Paris Hilton business going on this last weekend, too.
Oh, sweet. What, them hanging out or fighting?
Yeah, them hanging out and making out for the cameras because people have forgotten about Paris Hilton. So this is a way to...
Bring her back.
Bring her back, exactly.
It's such a weird thing. It's almost like you and I having a conversation about, hey, we need to make sure to promote the upcoming Coverville Coverthon.
That's right.
For them, it's like, you know, I haven't been on a camera for a while. We should make out in front of everybody.
It totally is. Yep.
Yeah, that's great. Megan Fox also back in the news with Brian Austin Green.
Oh, thank goodness.
Unlike all the other Brian Greens, you know. Mm-hmm. They were in a wreck. A drunk driver hit them. And despite death rumors, they both escaped without any injury at all.
It's because she might have had a transformer.
Megan Fox, Brian Austin Green are doing well after being involved in a wreck caused by a drunk driver. Despite a number of fake death reports, the couple miraculously escaped the crash without injury on Thursday night in L.A., they could have been killed is when this happened. It was last Thursday. Let's see. They haven't talked to the press for a day, so that's why people thought they had died. According to Green, both he and Megan are doing just fine, although he can't really be certain. So here's what he says. Quote, I'm okay. My wife is okay. We walked away. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know if I'm okay, but we're both walking. Your head is reeling from the moment. Of the moment over and over again, and you start thinking, could I have done anything differently? Luckily for Brian, he didn't have to. A little incoherent, I think. He needs to go, you know what, go get looked at least. What are you doing? You're not a doctor. You're totally right about that. Go just have them give you a quick check and make sure all the bones are there and, you know, nothing's busted or gone.
It was a problem when Brian Austin Green started calling his wife Donna. Yeah. Oh, Donna. Oop.
Hey, honey, Donna. How you feeling?
Donna, are you going to graduate or not?
Hurry up and decide. I have to be on the set for 90210 tomorrow.
Let's go down to the peach pit and...
or not 90210. Duh. Oh, no, it is 90210. No, yeah, I always get confused with that other one.
Melrose Place?
Yes. I can't help it. Wasn't he on there for a while?
Yeah.
Played himself or something? No? All right.
Not to my knowledge. I mean, there was a lot of crossover and stuff. I know Jake was on both of those shows and Models, Inc., I think.
Mm. What are they all doing now?
Just made the rounds.
What's his name's making Sharknado
movies?
Who's
done well? Like, Marsha Cross and her Desperate Housewives thing, bringing a little Desperate Housewives back onto the show.
Yeah.
I really do feel like in a weird way, the guy you thought would be the least interesting after that all ended has been the most interesting, at least with the, you know, with campy crap on Sharknado. Well, everybody.
Oh, Ian Ziering.
Ian Ziering, yeah. But everybody else has done nothing. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah. Maybe some stuff behind the cameras. I know, what was his name? Not Luke Perry, but Walsh kid.
The dreamy one.
That's right. He's done some directing or done some TV directing, TV producing, but.
Yeah. Just shows how fleeting this stuff can be, you know? Because back in the day, they were the top thing. That's all anyone cared about was the cast and after it went out. Now no one gives two poops. Hey, man, I'll tell you what I don't like doing every day.
What's that?
Getting out of my bed. And you know, do you know why? It's not because I'm, you know, overly tired or depressed or anything. It's because I don't want to leave my Casper mattress.
The comfort of your Casper mattress.
Oh my gosh, I love it. They're an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost of what you're used to paying for these things. And they have all these stores. I can go into these stores and the malls and things that have these fantastic, technologically advanced beds or whatever, and you pay through the roof for them. Not so with Casper. And they're amazing. They're revolutionizing the way the mattress industry works by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. It's an impressively, amazingly large, awesome mattress at a very fair price. Of that, I can attest. Two technologies are at play here, latex and memory foam. They come together for a better night's sleep and brighter days. And I really, honestly, there are mornings where it's like kind of cold out. I don't want to get out of that bed. Anyway, you can buy one online very easily. It's also completely risk-free. All you got to do is go there and try it. You can try it for 100 days. They will send you one of these for 100 days. That is a huge portion. That's half a year.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a third of a year.
Hold on.
A less than a third of a year.
265. Oh, 365. My brain wasn't working. We don't live on Venus.
Don't look at the chat room now for a little while.
Why?
Well, anytime there's any math situation.
Oh. I can just ignore that for a while. Great. Anyway, try it out. I mean, it's no risk. You can try that thing out. If you don't like it, they'll take it back. And I guarantee you're going to like it. It's just awesome. They're all made in the USA, right here in the States. And you can get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin. Or $950 for a king size mattress. Now, if you compare this to industry averages, that's insane. That's insanely cheap. How about I save you a little more money? Additional $50 off as one of our audience members. All you got to do is go to casper.com/morningstream. That's casper.com/morningstream. And take advantage of that deal right now. We love those guys. They're great. You'll like them too. All right, Brian, yay, let's take a break. When we come back, major spoilers. V for video games, got a couple emails and more. You probably have music for me. What the hell is it?
Music. How about a song going out to Jeremy Johnson that says, dear Starscream and Bruticus.
Oh.
He says, on the 7th, I'll turn 29. With this limerick, I ask for your time. A request I submit for a song most fit Pillar's cover of the song Shine. Pillar is my all-time favorite band, not only because I like their evolving style over the years, but because of how funny, friendly, and genuine the members of the band were when I got to spend time with them several years ago. Brian, if you would please play Pillar's cover of Collective Soul's Shine for me, I'll give you both an internet high five.
High five. Hasta
Motoyo.
Yeah.
Signed Jeremy, a.k.a. Ryoshi in the Tadpool and AIE. By the way, since his birthday falls on Sundays, requesting for the 8th. And there you go. So going out to Jeremy Johnson, this is Shine by Pillar. This one you will find on their 2009 album, Confessions. Confessions. Here is Pillar and Shine.
Show me where to look and tell me what will I find.
Someone who doesn't feel superior. There's Betty, and yet it just doesn't seem as if she'd be much fun. What about Anne? She knows how to have a good time and how to make the fellow with her relax, have fun too. Yes, that's what a boy likes. He wants to know he's appreciated. Anne would be fun on a date.
What are you talking about, a space flower?
This is the Morning Stream. AM!
That's good stuff.
That's a new one.
Yeah, I haven't played it in a while. Well, I don't know if I've ever played it. Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that one.
That's pretty good. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. We're back. Good to have you all back here. Let's call Steven now. It's guest time.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I really like that song in the first place, and I really like that cover. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah, Collective Soul's great, and handful of hits, but saw them in concert with Fastball. Great. Oh, yeah? 90s combo right there. And they were really good. Put on a great show.
Fastball. Goodness.
Yeah.
Haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. Let's go down this path. Welcoming to the show with us, won't you, Mr. Stephen H. Schleicher III. How's it going?
It's going okay.
Yeah? How's the website? What's going on over there?
Well, it's basically your Friday night stooping.
Man, I feel so bad, but you've got new hosting, and so we're getting close, right?
Yeah. So what happened yesterday was we would probably be up right now, except when our new host was checking everything there out. They were like, why did we install this deprecated version of the OS and PHP? And it's like, is this what your other provider was using? I was like, yeah. And they're like, well, what a bunch of freaking idiots. So
yeah.
They had to basically rebuild the server. And then we'll transfer some files tomorrow. So maybe by Wednesday we'll be up.
I have heard. So I got a funny story to tell you about GoDaddy. I'm not trying to besmirch anybody here necessarily. But
oh, hey, now that you broke open that damn, I'll go off on those guys.
I've heard nothing but like from a lot of a lot of IT people that I know. They laugh at what they provide for their hosting stuff. They feel like they're just it's all a big ruse just to keep you there, and it's just enough. Like they're barely doing enough to keep people there.
Well, the bad thing was every time I asked them, I said, "Are we sure we can't update the PHP or any of this other stuff?" And they're like, "No, we don't do that. These are not stable versions of the operating system. I'm sorry, the Linux version is now on version 7, and was on version 5. I'm sorry, that doesn't seem quite right. So
yeah, that's
I'm kind of glad that they're moving out of the way.
Well, it's good. And the way that story ended for me was back in the day, we used to have like a little code they could use that people could use on the shows and stuff. This is forever ago, like ELR days. And when they launched that SOPA deal, when they came out in support of that SOPA free internet thing, and people freaked out and kind of started boycotting them. I sent an email to my guy. I said, I think we'll probably just end our thing. I don't feel good about it. I don't want to use this code anymore. Told him, yeah, partially the SOPA thing, partially because some fans have gotten hosting and hate it, and I don't want to. I only want to recommend products that I can really get behind and endorse. It was real simple. I think that probably happens all the time. Just ask for them to not use us anymore. I get an email like 2 weeks ago. Mr. Johnson, if you're not going to reply to our inquiries about how to boost your GoDaddy exposure and sales, well, then I guess you're just not the kind of company that we want to do stuff with. Like, really? I'm the one that cut ties. You don't get to come in here and do that. It's not like that kind of stuff drives me crazy. So, yeah, look, yeah. Companies come, they go, they do good. Sometimes they screw up. I get it. Whatever. GoDaddy could do whatever they want to do. But I just feel like they have fallen far. I feel like they've gone from what potentially could have been cornering that market until the end of time to making everyone else's solutions like Hover and others seem more palatable. So,
yep.
There's that. Anyway, who cares about that? Let's talk about pop culture, comic books, TV.
Yeah,
movies.
Man, what a week for your site to be down. All the big news breaks.
Yeah. Well, how about this? Sherlock Holmes
yes.
is Doctor Strange.
Yes. That's moved from rumor category to confirm category.
Yes.
Marvel announced that Benedict Cumberbatch will indeed be Doctor Strange in the new movie coming out in November 4th, 2016.
So not Robert Downey Jr. then, because not the other Downey Sherlock Jr. Holmes. All right, okay, got
not,
it.
Not Joaquin Phoenix, not Johnny Depp.
There was a lot of talk about those other guys, but so the rumors back in October, you were saying at the time, like, yeah, they're rumors, we don't know, nothing's confirmed, but didn't you kind of feel like this was the way it would
go? Oh, yeah, I've got the story. If the site were up, the story's been in draft mode since October.
Yeah.
It's just been sitting there waiting for the actual confirmation to come down so we could put it up. The problem with the Joaquin Phoenix not getting the role is that they wanted him to sign up for a whole bunch of movies. So we know that in this grand scheme of things of what Marvel's doing, that Cumberbatch will be playing Strange probably in at least 3 movies.
So why wouldn't Joaquin Phoenix do it, do we think? I know he's a little temperamental and a little hard to work with. Did it come down to that, or was it?
It may be. Who knows? Maybe he had some other things in the works.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like.
Maybe it's his Voldemort forehead. Ruin that movie for me.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh my gosh. No, I feel like Cumberbatch is the right move.
I think so. I think some people are concerned that he'll probably be playing it with a British accent.
That's fine. Who cares?
Instead of a New York accent, but whatever.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, look. Yeah. Doctor Strange
can be British, sure.
Sure, why not?
I guess the thing is that we didn't talk about this last week because it's been over a week, but the Suicide Squad movie with the casting announced and how everybody's jumping up and down on Warner Brothers for stunt casting. And it's like, well, Benedict Cumberbatch is probably one of the more popular actors right now, and Marvel's hired him. How is that not stunt casting?
It's completely stunt casting. The thing is, it's, you know what? There's so much stunt casting that there is no stunt casting. It's right. just casting.
Exactly.
It's just getting who you can get for the money you have. It's really right. nothing more than that. So if the Suicide Squad guys can get all those great names, I think they're good names.
Yeah.
Good actors. Well, then why not? You know, why not have the guy who played Bane also play, I forgot his character. Crap.
Is it Deadshot?
No, that's Will Smith.
Yeah, yeah. I forget.
Crap, one of those dudes. Anyway, I don't have a problem with that. That's a weird thing for people to complain about. I feel like people just want to pile on DC now no matter what they do.
I think so, too. I mean, people, you know, rumor is that Warner Brothers really wants Oprah to play Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's great casting.
That's awesome casting.
Not CCH Pounder, but still great casting.
No.
If they could get her.
Is CCH Pounder still with us? She's still around, right?
Oh, yeah. She's still around. Yeah. And she's, you know, been the definitive voice.
ER.
Yeah, that's true. She's really
been the voice of Waller for years on the animated series. So.
And she's a great actress. She was amazing in The Shield. I don't know if anyone saw her in The Shield, but incredible on The Shield.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You give me Pounder or give me Death or give me Oprah. That's fine.
Oprah would be okay too.
Does it have to be? I mean, she's basically she's the Nick Fury of that universe, right?
Yeah, and that's how they're kind of spinning her, at least in the PR that came out from Suicide Squad from Warner Brothers, is essentially Nick Fury of the team.
Well, she could dust off her acting chops. It's been a while, you know.
Oh yeah.
Color Purple's a long time ago.
Yep.
Let's bring it back, baby. I shouldn't talk about Oprah in that way. It's like speaking ill of the Lord or something.
Got to wait for the thugs now to show up.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I will not be getting a car today under my seat.
No.
James Bond has a new movie and it's got a name.
Oh, man. I cannot wait for James Bond Spectre to come out.
Yeah. What are you thinking? Tell me why you're so excited.
Okay. So in the James Bond universe, Spectre is the secret evil organization. I forget what their the anagram stands for, but it's
basically Hydra, right? The idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's Hydra. And what's really cool is, for people who were really paying attention to the announcement last week, they unveiled the logo for James Bond Spectre, and it looks like a bullet hole through a piece of glass, and, you know, the glass all stretching outward, but there's like eight lines coming down. If you go back and look at the original Spectre logo from the early James Bond movies, it's an octopus. Mm. And that's what that bullet hole is their octopus look. It's really kind of nice.
Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, we also found out some of the casting, including Christoph Walsh will be one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
The one name that was not brought up during the announcement was, will there be an Ernst Blofeld in this movie? And I think that's the one thing that Spectre needs is Blofeld.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
That's right, because we haven't had that in the Daniel Craig stuff yet.
Nope, none of that stuff yet.
This is all very exciting.
Oh, then for sure we're getting a Blofeld.
I would imagine so. That, again, they announced basically all of the cast. I don't know. I can't imagine who they would, you know, hide that for so long. Although Stephen Hawking made a joke last week that he wouldn't mind playing Blofeld in the upcoming James Bond.
Sure,
movie.
Put a little put a cat on his lap. You're set.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah,
I expect you to die, Mr. Bond.
Oh, come,
it would be great, wouldn't it?
Wasn't he that? So, if my memory serves me, back in the Roger Moore days, he got dumped into a smokestack
chimney. Yeah,
I remember that. It was like Octopussy or something.
I'm pretty sure
bad guys always come back.
Yeah,
they do. And I'm pretty sure didn't Telly Savalas play Blofeld in Honor Majesty's Secret Service? So
sure did.
It's a long pedigree of a great actor.
I'm in.
Stephen McGinty played.
Yeah, Blofeld. And there was a really famous one. Another famous one.
Yeah, he was in The Great Escape.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's totally right.
Donald Pleasance.
Yeah.
Pleasance,
yes.
That's it.
Pleasance.
He was, yeah, you want him. Mm-hmm. But we don't have him anymore, so we got to get someone new. Yeah, that'll be great. I like Christoph Waltz. Perhaps he can, Mr. Bond, you enjoy killing as much as I do. All right, what else is going on? Suicide Squad, we got the casting. We talked about this on the show a bit, but you got your Will Smith, your Tom Hardy, your, I forgot the others here.
What's her name? Margot Robbie, is that her name?
Yeah, she's all right. Anyway, I'm very excited about that. We talked about it kind of at length already, but the idea the ultimate anti-hero team movie is kind of what this is. And they've been great in the comics and stuff like that. And I know there's a bit of this happening with Arrow, mm-hmm. a subplot with those guys. But the big question for me to you is, how are we feeling about Jared Leto as the Joker?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of, when I saw this whole cast announced, I was like, wow, that is really a diverse cast of people to bring in. But I'm really open to the idea because, again, if you think back to the last Joker, I forgot his
Heath
name.
Ledger.
Heath Ledger. People were like, you mean this guy? Come on. Wasn't he in like that rock and roll
Knights right.
movie?
Knight's Tale.
And
yeah.
he came out and did a great job as the Joker. So, you know, I'm okay with Leto taking on the role. We were talking about this on the Major Spoilers podcast. I think he should keep the beard and mustache and do a Cesar Romero and just paint over the top.
Yeah, dude. That's a great idea.
Totally.
Yeah, no, Heath Ledger reinvented that character.
I don't know how I got this facial hair.
I grew it.
He changed that character forever, and so it'll be interesting to see what someone else does with the role. Also, I think we just need to hurry up and get a new Joker in some movie so yeah. that we can dispel the myth that there's a curse involved. Because, right. you know, people want to go, oh, the Joker curse, you die after you play that character. Well, one did. I would remind everybody that Jack Nicholson's still kicking it somehow. Like yeah. everyone's,
and so's Mark Hamill.
Sure, and if Cesar Romero was, you know, could live to 300, he'd still be here.
Yep.
So relax, there is no curse, and there won't be with Jared Leto either. It'll be fine.
I think it's going to be interesting.
Now, there's a stunt there,
man. Yeah.
There we go. Stay away from that movie.
Yeah. Unless your coach or whatever his name is. What's his real name? Anyway.
Nelson.
Judge T. Nelson. Jim T. Nelson. Bob T. Nelson.
Major Nelson.
No, I don't know. It's something Bob Nelson. Craig Nelson. Craig T. Nelson. He lived through it all. I think he's the creator of the curse. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
One thing about Suicide Squad that people can look at a couple of different places. A lot of people are probably familiar with Suicide Squad if they watched an episode of Justice League Unlimited called Task Force X, which was a great little episode that showed the team in action.
Yeah.
It's very G-rated because it was on television. There's a movie that just came out, a direct-to-DVD animated movie from Warner Brothers called Arkham Assault, I believe is what the title of the movie was. Mm. It's basically Suicide Squad. Mm. And it's all Suicide Squad. Batman barely appears in the piece. But it is much more mature. It is much, much more violent. If people kind of want to feel for what I think the way this movie will come out, is going to be what this directed DVD animated movie is. So they should go. I wouldn't recommend just rushing out and checking it out because it is pretty mature, especially if you have kids around. So don't think just because it's animated that it's for young ones. But yeah. go check that movie out.
DC animated direct stuff is so good.
Yeah.
They've nailed that every time they do anything, I swear. All right. Well, that's all good news. That Preacher pilot got approved by AMC. Are we excited about that?
It is. I think it is. It's one that's been in the works for years and years and years and years. And it's been tossed around to Showtime, HBO, and now finally AMC, thinking that they can take a crack at it with the success of Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead and the upcoming Walking Dead sequel. They might be able to do a Preacher adaptation. Of course, this is only a pilot. It's not a series go ahead or green light.
Yeah.
Preacher is one that walks that line between for some people, very blasphemous to something that is a tongue-in-cheek poke at religion and everything that goes along with that. So
it's also just very hardcore. I'm really interested to see if AMC, because usually you'd say, oh, AMC, cool. That means they can stretch the limits. They can push more than regular TV can. But then this one almost needs like HBO or Showtime where they...
Yeah, it really does. You know? I mean, when you've got a character like Arseface, it's going to be hard to pull off on TV, I think.
What a weird movie. It's a weird comic. Yeah. I don't actually like the comic much. I would be much more interested in an adaptation of it, though, because the comic just feels mean to me sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said, especially its poke at religion, I think, is where it gets really.
Yeah, and it's not so much that I'm 100% fine with the satirical treatment of religion or any of that stuff. I don't care about any of that so much. It's that it feels mean-spirited towards people of religion like mm-hmm. that. And there's a fine line because you can do this pretty well, I think, without doing that. This, for whatever reason, that comic book just always felt like Garth Ennis just
he's got a thing for everything that he writes.
He's got like a hot poker up his butt and he just wants to get some anger out. Anyway,
it's a seminal work from DC Comics and Vertigo and went on for a long time. I think it's collected in 6 or 9 volumes for people to pick up and read. So good times.
Yeah. What I really want is AMC or somebody to do a Saga adaptation. That's what I really want.
That would be interesting. I don't think that they have enough in the can right now. They'd very quickly get ahead of themselves if they did a Saga adaptation.
That's true. They don't. They're only what? Yeah, I'm caught up. Even like they're not.
Once a month, but I think it's like every other month if you average it out.
Yeah, a few more years.
Yeah, I think another adaptation that would be really great is from Image Comics Chew, really crazy. And that series ends in, I think, 15 more issues. So there's plenty of time to adapt that and get it caught up and do some cool things with it.
Well, finally, Action Comics number 1 is always in the news for selling big on auction and things like that. And apparently even a poopy version can go for a lot of money.
Yes.
What happened?
So a 3.0 version, which is graded. And that's fairly low. Usually it's right around, that's the lowest level of the collectability.
That's out of 10, right? Just so people understand the scale.
Yeah. Okay. So 3 is pretty bad. You have yellowing of pages, cover pieces being torn, staples discontinued, whatever. It went up on auction this past weekend, and there were about $7.1 million worth of comics and collectibles being sold off. The Action Comics number 1 that is graded at 3.0 went for $310,000.
Good gosh. Oh,
wow. So even a relatively low quality copy of Action Comics number 1 can get you a lot of money.
Well, the rarity is that's the key now.
That's the crazy part. It's like every other week someone's pulling an Action Comics number 1 out of their wall or finding it in the basement.
And it's probably people saying, "Oh, I didn't realize it was worth this much."
And
saying, "All right, I'll jump, you know."
Yeah, we still have Grandpa's copy. But do we have any idea of how long those were in, or how many of those were ever in circulation?
Oh, there would have been, probably 500,000 originally released, probably.
That's a lot.
It was. And, I mean, you have to remember at the heyday of Superman and Captain Marvel and those guys, they were selling 1 million comics a month.
Yeah.
And that was by the mid-1950s, or the late 40s, early 50s. After that, things started to drop off because of the 10-cent plague and the paper drives and all of that stuff. So a lot of it was just tossed out and thrown out.
Yeah.
Last time I looked, and this was a while ago, there were less than 500 copies of Action Comics still floating around.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's relatively rare, and it may be even fewer than that. But honestly, it just seems like everybody's pulling out an Action Comics literally out of the wall. It was like a year or two ago. Some guy was working down in, I want to say, Wichita or something.
Yeah.
And opened up his wall, and sure enough, there was a copy that someone had stashed back there this house that he was remodeling.
Yeah.
And it was like a 1.9 version, and I think it still sold for $100,000.
Yeah, it still did like 100K. Jeez. It's crazy. Yeah. I want to be able to find one on my wall.
Kidding. I'm going to rip my walls out just in case.
Not in a new build, that's for sure.
Today, Brian, today. Make it happen today.
I'm going to do that today.
Steven, despite the fact that MajorSpoilers.com is down, they can still follow you on Twitter at MajorSpoilers, and there are other things going on. Is there anything in particular you'd like to mention?
I don't think
so. Podcast feeds are working, right? Is that still?
Oh, yeah. The podcast. The thing is, the podcast feeds, all that stuff is there, so people can get access to all of that stuff.
Okay.
It may blip here in the next day or two when we change all the DNS stuff over, but you're going to be down for less than 24 hours on that. Yeah. So, your podcast feeds are still there. You can head over to Facebook.com/MajorSpoilers. We were just doing some updates and giving you updates on what's going on with the site. And, of course, at MajorSpoilers on Twitter.
Recommended.
Now, thank you.
Steven, take it easy. I'm glad you're feeling better, by the way. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Sounds less sick than usual.
Yeah.
He's getting over that cold. Bad bout. That thing was bad.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Speaking of bad.
But bad in a good way.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring Veronica in here.
All right.
Have a little fun. Talk some little video.
Alrighty.
You know how it goes. Here's a little theme for her.
How about a booby?
Hey, it's Veronica Belmont, everybody.
That didn't sound like a theme song to me.
No, it didn't. Not at all. How are you? What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning. We're good. We missed you last week, but that was my fault. I screwed that one up kind of royally. But man, it's good to have you back.
Scott.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm gonna let you guys know I have my bad microphone. For some reason, it's not picking up my good microphone. So if I sound like poo, that's why.
Well, I was just thinking to myself, man, Veronica sure sounds like poo this morning. What
you know
is
what?
Going
even
on?
Veronica, even on a bad mic, sounds better than me on a good mic.
That's right.
I'll take that any day of the week.
She'll take that compliment. So Veronica comes on the show, talk a little bit about video games. What's going on? Last time we talked, you were kind of in the thick of the new Dragon Age game, and I just want to get a small update. How is it holding up over time? I know it's huge, and you're still in. What's going on? How's that game?
I'm a mental case for this game. Like, I cannot stop playing this game. It is fantastic. It is so in-depth. Like, I find new stuff to do every single time I play. The writing is fantastic. The musical score is incredible. And I've just been, I haven't been sucked into a game like this since Skyrim. And in fact, I think in many ways, it may even be better than Skyrim.
Whoa, that is tall. That is some tall talk, man. That's amazing. Because I've been on the fence, not really on the fence. I've just had other things going on, and WoW has completely sucked me back in. But I definitely want to get it. It's just such a rise from the mediocrity that was 2. Dragon Age 2 was just not great.
It's like they learned all of the lessons from the mistakes they made in 2 and have completely fixed all of them. And I'm having a couple, like, buggy game issues. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, sometimes when I go into my journal, it crashes completely. Mm-hmm. And I can't get out of the journal page. And, you know, sometimes there's weird stuff within the dialogue, like dialogue menus where I can't highlight. I use a mouse and a keyboard. I'm playing on PC.
Sure.
And I can't highlight over the dialogue one that I want. So I have to use the keyboard to actually press the number next to it.
Oh.
So those are like little buggy things. Not a big deal. Not game breaking except for the crash. But I've just been having a really fantastic time and trying to find every spare moment I can to play.
So is it okay? And I didn't mean to spend so much time on this game, but I'm kind of excited about it, and I just need to freaking pick it up. But does the Skyrim comparison is interesting to me, because what I loved about Skyrim was this feeling of just vastness and discovery and that sort of thing. And typically, BioWare games tend to be a little bit more linear, if not linear, more literal about, you know, what you're to do next. Is this a mix of those two things? Is it fall in the category of more explorable like Skyrim and discoverable like that? Or
yeah, you know? I mean, frankly, at this point, I don't even know which of my quests is the main storyline quest. I have so many side quests and so many other things that I've been doing that I cannot. I'm like, all right, I know I'm supposed to be doing something to advance the storyline, but I just going this route just seems much more interesting to me right now.
Yeah.
So I take a couple hours and do a side quest or do one of the personal quests for one of my companions. And I just get lost in that for a while. And yeah, I'm not even really sure what my main quest is at this point, or where I'm in, where I'm, you know, at what position I'm in that quest line.
Mm, that does sound Skyrim-y to me. Like, I would have that problem there where I would, and it's not like a bad thing. It's just like, well, if I want to get the story going, I better get back on the main line. But at the same time,
I'm kind of scared that's going to happen. That's my worst fear, is that I'll accidentally play the main storyline and somehow end the game and be like, ah!
That wouldn't be good. No. Well, there was it's been a kind of a weird week. Sony had this big thing, this new event. It's their first annual. I assume that means they want to keep doing it, called the PlayStation Experience in Vegas. Sounded kind of interesting in terms of what, you know, a company like that essentially saying, we're going to do, you know, kind of BlizzCon for our platform or whatever. A lot of things came out of that. One was the Game Awards that Jeff Keighley's doing, where EA won for Dragon Age, in fact, for Game of the Year, which is kind of a big deal. But lots of other stuff like Uncharted 4 footage, things like that. What jumped out at you? Anything in particular that you think's worth bringing up?
Yeah, Killstrain sounds pretty interesting. And I think that you will probably get a kick out of this if you haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it's kind of like a MOBA-like game, like maybe League of Legends. But you play, there's two teams of humans and one team of like mutant zombie type characters. And so this kind of reminded me of some of the multiplayer stuff from Left 4 Dead 2, where you can kind of get pulled over to the other side of the team, or you may get turned into a zombie by accident if you die at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And this is very much like that. So you each have your own bases that you're defending. And if one of the mutants takes you down in a certain way by their base, you can turn into one of them and then you play on their team. And since the ultimate goal is to get the most points out of anyone, it's not like you feel a lot of... You don't feel too bad about turning into a mutant. It's not like you don't suddenly, your allegiance changes and it's a big deal. It's like, okay, well, now I'm playing this way. I just need to continue earning the most points out of everyone.
It's funny, they listed it, or they announced it as a 5v2v5 game. Mm-hmm. And at first that seemed really confusing. In fact, the guy came out and I watched the keynote, and he came out to announce it. And he goes, I'm here to talk about Killstream. And then nobody said anything because nobody knows what the hell he's talking about. And then he goes, come on, every, you know, trying to get the crowd going for a game they'd never heard of. And I thought, well, all right, that's fine. But he got talking, and when he said 5v2v5, it kind of went over my head. What you just explained to me makes more sense.
Yeah, so it can change to a 4v3v5 or a 3v5v4, depending on how the 20 to 30 minute game goes. So it's very, it seems very fluid. And I just, the play style sounds, I mean, you start out as like a ranged character if you're human, and then the mutants are more like melee. Mm-hmm. So it's your play style changes depending on whether you are human or mutant. So you kind of have to get into that mindset of you can't really get super good at one play style because that could change at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
So you have to stay kind of well-rounded, it sounds like.
Yeah, it looks interesting. And they showed a lot of other stuff that seemed very indie-focused this time. I think, you know, it's good to see Sony sort of getting out ahead of the fact that they have some leadership right now in console sales. They want to maximize that. It feels like a smart thing to do. I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft didn't do something similar moving forward. One of the things that they announced kind of blew my mind, and I don't know how important fighting games are anymore. I know it's important to the competitive community, but Street Fighter V exclusive to PS4 and PC.
Yeah.
And they're interoperable, right? You can play each other. Isn't that the deal?
Yeah. And this is kind of blowing up the Twitter feeds a little bit because there is a huge Street Fighter community. And yeah. I've met some of these like top players before, like just out in the world. They have, you know, they get together. They build their own Street Fighter cabinets. They do all these crazy mods. And they get together on Friday nights just in someone's garage with tons of different cabinets and play Street Fighter and other fighting games. And it's a really intense community.
Yeah.
And so doing an exclusive like this, I mean, Xbox is kind of like, well, you know, Phil Spencer, I think, was like, this happens, this is business. You know, sometimes exclusives happen and they're no stranger to that either.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a big deal for a subset of gamers out there.
Yeah, it's a big deal too, because what you've essentially said is if this next generation Street Fighter is indeed the next thing the community, the competitive community embraces in the series, you've got a platform exclusive for the lifespan of that game, and that's a big deal in a targeted market like that.
You know, I went on Patrick Peja's show last week, and we kind of talked about, you know, the rise of PlayStation and how PlayStation is really seeming to come out on top in this recent console war.
Yeah.
And it's just so surprising for someone like me who worked with PlayStation for so many years, because we always kind of felt like the underdogs mm-hmm. while we were in it.
Yeah.
And now the tide has really turned, and you know, I don't even have a PlayStation now, and I feel like I'm one of the only people I know who doesn't.
Right.
You know, I'm gaming on PC and Xbox primarily these days, and I'm like, wow, I kind of missed the boat. I kind of drank my own depressed Kool-Aid when I was back at PlayStation and moved away from it.
Sure.
And now it's on the rise again, and I think that's really great, because I mean, it's a phenomenal console, and they're getting some great exclusives, and it's an exciting time. For sure, but yeah. I still love my Xbox.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong, and we need them both to be hungry. And but what I see Sony doing right now that's good for them is that they're being very hungry, and they want to stay where they're at, and they want to keep it growing. They want to get back to the salad days of PS1 and PS2,
right?
And they want that really bad, and so you can sense it and feel it. In Microsoft's case, this is how these cycles go. You know, mm-hmm. they'll probably get their crap together and eke their way back up to at least equity, if not better. You know, like whatever. The competitiveness of that market is really good for us as players. And I hope both of them continue to, you know, fight and struggle and get good exclusives and try to dominate, because it means we're going to benefit with better games and, you know, a better experience. As
You're
always.
Absolutely right.
Well, there it is, the PlayStation experience. Tons more, obviously. People can go out and search it up and see what else happened from that event. It was a little sad to see, just as a side note, they were playing this gorgeous 5 or 6 minute demo of the new Uncharted game. I mean, absolutely beautiful. The gameplay looked about like what you're used to with that game, but man, graphically looked insane. Art direction was incredible. And right in the middle of that thing, and it's all alpha code, so whatever, what do you expect? But He fell off the edge of a cliff and then fell through the textured floor and then fell. Yeah, he fell into this huge abyss of gray that was, you know, obviously an error. But hey, even the best of us fall sometimes into the gray abyss.
Well said. Well said.
Veronica Belmont, anything going on? I know you got this hot new store for Sword and Laser. How's that going? And where can people go to find that?
That is that you can head over to swordandlaser.com and click on the SNL store tab, and it'll bring you right to our Big Cartel page. And we got a lot of great stuff on there, and I'm excited about it. But yeah, otherwise, got some plans, some interesting creative plans in the works, some interesting podcast plans in the works. So can't talk about them now, but hopefully within the next, you know, month or so.
That's exciting. I can't wait to hear more. Veronica Belmont, we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you
now.
Later.
See ya. All right. Wonder what that is.
It's exciting. She's pulling a Johnson there.
Pulling a Johnson. All right. Brian, I'm going to do some emails now.
Okay.
And here's how I know how, because this is happening.
Right. Send and receive email.
Okay. Here we go. Lawrence Chiang, would you say?
Chiang.
Chiang. Sure. Okay.
Chiang.
All right.
Chiang.
Hi, Skojo and Bri... Bri-Ibo.
Mine doesn't work.
It should be Bribo.
Bribo.
Bribo. No. Bibby actually is correct.
Yeah, Bibby is what I usually accept. Accept as I accept Bibby.
I am willing to accept Bibby and none else. I have been a listener since the ELR days, and I thank you too for all your Frog Pants affiliates and for the entertaining podcast you all produce. I don't have a story how your work have helped me overcome hardships like cancer or emotional trauma. Nonetheless, your work has accompanied me since my college years and through a period of job hunting. I really like how Scott's openness on the show. That's weird. I really like how Scott's openness on the show and Brian's jolly nature.
Just skip the word how.
Yeah.
I really like Scott's openness.
I'm going to assume Chiang is that Lawrence is perhaps, this isn't his native tongue. Doesn't matter.
Sure.
I would also like to ask the two of you, how do you stay productive and disciplined in working? Anyhow, I'm thinking of going to Dragon Con 2015. If you're still coming, I'd like to shake your hands. Wait, I got too many bows in there.
Oh, maybe there are too many.
That's it. Anyway, Lawrence, thanks, dude, for the compliment. Secondly, productive and disciplined. I think it's just, I don't know, if you love doing it, you just do it.
Yeah, and you find out really quickly that if you're not disciplined and if you don't stay productive, you get really sad and really stressed really fast.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
It's just a matter of saying, all right, hey, let's get this done. Let's enjoy it. And again, if you do what you enjoy, then it makes it a lot easier.
My biggest challenge has been that I don't have a boss anymore. It's me. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of a dick when it comes to the workplace. So I don't know when to stop sometimes. And then there are other times where I don't know where to begin. And because there isn't some overarching sort of authority figure, you know, lording over me, telling me what to do next, that can be a bit of an abrupt change for me. There it was. It's less of a problem now. But, you know, sometimes you feel like, oh, I can't do enough. And then there's sometimes you're like, am I doing the right things? And there's no one there to tell you if you are or you're not. You have to figure it out. So that's the hard bit. But staying motivated, I'm always motivated. Except right now, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to go sleep.
I know. It was a late night for us.
Yeah, that was late. And I was, and it was all so overstimulated by the time we were done. I just could not fall asleep. Just laid there. I got to quit playing video games at midnight. It's a bad idea.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. It's not going to happen. That's it for your emails. If you'd like to send your own, themorningstream@gmail.com is our email address. On the web, you can find us at frogpants.com/TMS and on Twitter @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, and @Coverville.
Yes.
That's it. Do you have music? Let's go with music.
I do have music. Let's get right to it.
Okay.
It is, this one's going out to Shoujo Beat.
No.
She writes in, she says, yo, dork face and nerd butt. Love that.
She's great.
And from her, we will absolutely take that.
Any day of the week. Totally fine.
Yep. I will be celebrating my 34th birthday this coming December 8th, and I was born the exact same night that our dear John Lennon was murdered. Sad face.
Ugh.
Please play any cover that you so desire. I trust your judgment. Imagine. Hug a shoujo. Signed, Sarah.
Nice.
It's so great to see her this last month at DragonCon. She's
agree.
A delight.
Yeah,
or not DragonCon, BlizzCon.
BlizzCon, and her son is just growing like a weed.
No kidding. Yeah. I know.
Weird.
Crazy. So how about a cover of Imagine for Sarah? And this is a really good version, and I think it's kind of fitting because it fits into that nerd geek culture that we really like. Sonically, you know, musically, it's good. It's not going to knock anybody's socks off. But when you hear who's doing it, that's when you might stop and take notes and say, oh, wow, okay, this is pretty cool. Mm. This was performed by a guy who always seemed to find himself in the wrong time, in the wrong place, and always began with an oh boy, from this TV show Quantum Leap. I want to say this was the episode where he leapt home and leapt to a time before John Lennon and played this song on the porch with a guitar to his, what would have been his brother, if I remember correctly.
That sounded
this
right.
is performed Scott Bakula right here and with Velton Ray Bunch. From the Quantum Leap soundtrack from 1993, here is Imagine.
All right, tomorrow, new show. Be here for that. New boob show later today. And what else? I think that's it. I think we are covered. Here it is. It's Imagine.
Imagine.
I forgot to play that earlier. That's a bad idea. Why didn't I do that?
Imagine.
I should play that five times.
Imagine.
Ah, three will do it. Here you go. It's Imagine. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us. And the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of men. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us. And the world will live as one.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
She bit me.